blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city grand and fair. 349 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, the first 23 verses. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden, who had eye surgery in this past week. Ashley Rosendahl of the Calgary congregation, who has to receive surgery in this coming week. Also Marie Arnoldusen, who is leaving us for the Netherlands in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou hast brought us safely together in this morning, and wilt Thou be with any that may not be here to keep over all dangerous ways, and wilt Thou give us in Thy house in this day an undeserved blessing. For Lord, thou knowest how that we have come up into this thy house of prayer. Oh, by nature we have no desire for thee, and we are called to worship thee. We have sung it together, that we are called on thy day to bow before thee, to acknowledge thee for all thy mercies, blessings, benefits bestowed upon us, to glorify thy holy and thy worthy name. Lord, we have none of this in our hearts of ourselves. We have only sin, wretchedness, iniquity, and transgression. Thou art the witness of it all. All that lies within us and all that comes forth from us from moment unto moment. Lord, thou can make it different in one moment. Oh, we have read it together out of thy holy word. Then thou can give ears to hear and hearts to understand. And that is what we beseech of thee in this morning hour. That is a miracle from heaven that we stand in need of. And when we have closed our eyes and we have closed our ears, lest we should be converted and lest we should be healed by thee, oh, deal not with us according to our sins, according to the hardness of our hearts. But wilt thou look on us in mercy through thy dear and only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into the world for the payment of that awful price. Lord, it is for thy own church, but it is a church that needs to be gathered also in the time. Thou hast shown when thou art long-suffering, and when thou still bearest with this world in all the iniquity and the sin which increases a day by day and moment by moment, that thou still hast a people that need to be converted, that there are still those who must be called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light, that there are still those whom thou dost love, even with an everlasting love from that never begun eternity, that are included in that blessed covenant of peace. Those that still need to be drawn. Those whose eyes are closed this day and whose ears are closed. Whose eyes must go open. Oh, may thou look on us then this day. That there may be many, O Lord, also from this, our own flock, that have to be converted, whose names are written in thy book. Then wilt thou send thy Holy Spirit to work among us. There is no hope otherwise. There is no hope in man. There is no hope that we should convince man to turn to thee. When thou wilt not turn us, then it will all come to nothing. Oh, when thou wilt not begin within our hearts to cleanse that fountain of sin and iniquity that lies within us, to turn us from our sin, to give us a true and upright love for thee, our Maker and our Creator. Lord, thou alone art able. Thou art the Alpha, thou art the beginning. Oh, we beseech thee then in this thy holy day that thou hast made for that purpose. Oh, that thou would come also among us. It is so undeserved by us and by our dear children. Lord, there is nothing that is deserved by us but to be cast away from thee. But thou wilt still do it as thou hast promised because of thy own Son, because of the price that he has paid. Oh, has he not a seed, Lord, that would serve him? Oh, may it be that there is an increase in that number, an increase in that seed
then it will be to His honor and to His glory and to the salvation of sinners. Remember each and every one of Thy children, oh, when there may be those who have had their eyes open and their ears unstopped by Thee, then Thou knowest the trouble and the anguish of their heart when they cannot tell it unto men. Oh, may it be that there are those that have an inner chamber in our midst that cannot but wrestle with Thee and prevail. Oh, look on them in mercy and give a blessing this day. The opening of Thy word and the opening of the blessed mysteries to them that have, Thou dost say, to them shall be given. And it was not shown unto all, but Thou did explain it unto Thy disciples, the meaning of Thy word. Oh, that Thou would look on those that are then afflicted, and those that cannot do without God in this world anymore, and that cannot see a way to return. Lord, when it is a way of distress, and when it is a way of perplexity, oh, may Thou come and open the mysteries of free and sovereign grace to the most wretched and filthy and polluted ones. Oh, that there may be a blessed fitness, that there may be a blessed suitability to be seen, felt, and experienced in our midst. Glorify Thyself thereby for those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Remember all Thy children, also those who walk in a way of backsliding. Lord, and they are also so guilty time and again, and yet they must experience that helplessness from their own side to bring themselves again into that first love which they have left. When they are, after all their idolatry and after all the ways of backsliding, now sitting in the darkness of the prison in Babylon. And Lord, when they are not able to open that prison, when they are not able to unloose the shackles, oh, may Thou show Thy might and Thy power this day. And may Thou bring them back again, that they may yet sing that the snare is broken and we are escaped. Oh, remember each and every one. Oh, give that Thy Spirit may move in the midst of us, even as it did move a Samson at times. Then it is a mystery that we know not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. But Lord, then it is a people that may experience something of Thy mighty hand. Oh, look on us then in mercy. Be with all those that are afflicted in the ways of this life. It is often so necessary for us, for what can stop us, Lord? Remember her that received surgery on her eye in the week that is gone by. Thou hast thus far made it well. Wilt Thou heal her further and also give an eye of true saving faith to see? Remember the young child of our sister flock that must receive surgery in this coming week. May Thou look upon her, guide the physicians, heal her in the body, give her to feel the disease of her soul, and work Thou mightily in the days of her youth. Remember all those that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that are afflicted and sick, and all those that need Thee in special ways in this life, those that are handicapped, those that are blind, deaf, dumb, and those that have afflictions that man knows nothing of, those that cry out of ways of distress and pain. Lord, may Thou give to experience that Thou art alive. And oh, that thou would work also through all these ways for the good of the soul. Remember her that hopes to leave us in the week that is to come, to go far away into the Netherlands, and there to live. And Lord, thou knowest all that lies within her heart. Oh, may thou remember her in that place. May thou give her to feel something of thy presence and thy nearness, that thou art a God close by when she is far from her parents and families and all her loved ones. And wilt thou prosper her way in this life? And wilt thou give that as she may also experience something of the open eyes and the opening of the ears? Remember all our youth, our children. Lord, instruct them in the days of their youth. Give them to flee from the ways of sin and draw them to fear thy name while it is still a day of grace. Wilt thou be with all of us then this day? Help us, Lord. We are called to bring thy word. And then it is here in our own congregation in this morning, and also in our sister congregation in this afternoon and evening, wilt thou strengthen us for this labor with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, what shall it be when thou wilt not come in with thy word? Oh, then the birds of the air shall take it all away. It shall be unfruitful. But may it prove otherwise in this morning, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be a true conversions, that there may be instruction from above for all of us together. Forgive and keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. The extra collection at the last song today is for the Bethesda Care Home in Picture Butte. Psalter 163, all stanzas. Congregation, the Pharisees said, "We are Abraham's seed." And when they prayed, then they said, "Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are." But what did the disciples say? They said, "Lord, is it I?" Did the Pharisees have true faith? No. And yet, the Pharisees did not doubt of their good state before God. Did the disciples have true faith? Yes. And yet those disciples had much doubt of their own sincerity. And that was an evidence of the true work of God. In what way? Because those disciples had self-knowledge. That is, that they knew that they could not trust their own sinful heart. The Lord Jesus has said to his disciples that not every one that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And for that reason, then we find very often that the Lord Jesus is taking forth the precious from the vile. In his parables, in his speaking unto the people, that man who hears will not deceive himself for that great eternity. And it was so also in the parable which we have read together, which we want to consider together in this morning hour with the Lord's help. Our text for this morning that is then taken from Matthew 13, the 9th verse. Matthew 13, verse 9. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So far the words of our text. The hearers of the word of God. First, the wayside hearers. Second, the stony ground hearers. Third, the thorny ground hearers. And fourth, the good ground hearers. The hearers of the word of God, as is laid out for us by the Lord Jesus himself. First, the wayside hearer. Second, the stony ground hearer. Third, the thorny ground hearer. And fourth, the good ground hearers. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Congregation, do you have ears? What is it that we desire to hear with our ears? Do we desire to hear the music of the world? Do we desire to hear all the entertainment of the world? Do we desire to hear the gossip of the world? Do we desire to hear the latest news? Congregation, do we desire with our ears that are given to us by the Lord himself, do we desire to hear his own word? Or do we not want to hear that, boys and girls? The word of the Lord. It is a wonder if we may hear that word of God, because that is not given for everyone in this world to hear. And the Lord is working in the life of His church by hearing, not by seeing, not by feeling, but the ear that is the blessed instrument that the Lord has given for the receiving of the salvation of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, we should not seek other means that the Lord has not given, that men today are beginning to act out the word of God. No. No, it is by hearing. And it is also, therefore, so necessary that the Lord is sending His servants into this world, that they may preach His word, that they may sow His seed. Because when that seed is not sown and that word is not heard, and then men cannot be converted. You know that when the fields are just left of themselves and there is no farmer to sow seed within the field, what is going to come up in that field? Then it is going to be all weeds. It is going to be all tares, no fruit. But even in those places where that seed of the Word of God is sown, then we can read there are different effects of the sowing of that seed. How is that there are different effects? Why is that? That is not because of the seed. It is not because of the sower. It is not because of the sowing of that seed. No, but we read here that it is in the hearing. It is in the receiving of this word. The effect of the preaching of the word of God that is not dependent upon the sower, that is not dependent on his gifts. It is not dependent on how well that he can lay out the word of God, not dependent on good oratory. But what does the Lord say here? He says there is something lacking in the hearing. There is something lacking in the receiving of the word of that kingdom. It says that it has something to do with the ground. It has something to do with the place upon which that seed is falling. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What does the Lord Jesus say? Let him listen. Let him think about it. Let him meditate upon it. Let him seek to see the meaning of it. Let him ponder it. Let it sink into his heart. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, all that the Lord Jesus spoke to, they heard, yes. But the Lord Jesus says, you hear, but you do not hear. Then he is speaking about a different kind of a hearing. And what will the Lord Jesus have that multitude to consider? He says to the multitude, think and consider about how that you are hearing that word of God. How is it that you hear? How is it that you receive that word of God? Then he is speaking about four different kinds of hearers. So what does the Lord Jesus do? He is making distinctions. In congregation today, men don't want to hear about distinctions. They want to pretend that it is all the same, and that we all come to church, and that we are all the people of the Lord, and we don't want to hear that there are distinctions within that the walls of God's house, that there are distinctions within the church itself. But the Lord Jesus, He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Then He doesn't make a distinction between those who hear and those who do not hear. No, but He is making a distinction between His hearers. That is, He is making a distinction within that external church. By nature, congregation, no one has ears to hear. We have no ear to hear when we are on the outside, and we have no ear to hear when we are on the inside. Why not? Because we are dead. Boys and girls, when a person is dead, then they can hear nothing. Then they are dead. And when we are spiritually dead, then we also have no ears to hear. But now, even within those that group of people, as it were, the Lord Jesus says, that have no ears to hear, there is also a distinction within those people. There are differences. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus speaks about four kinds of hearers. The first three kinds of hearers, they are spiritually dead. And yet, the Lord Jesus takes pains to make distinctions even between those people who are spiritually dead and do not hear. Four kinds of hearers. What are they? First, we read, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Did you ever see that, boys and girls? When there is some seed that is laying on the wayside, what is that? That is the pathway where the farmer has walked over and over and over again. And that is hard, compact earth ground. And when that seed is, some of it, falling upon that hard ground, then it is lying just on the top of the ground. And then immediately, then you can see the birds of the air. They have a sharp eye, and they are coming to devour that seed because they can see that so clearly upon that hard ground. Oh, that seed, then it is destroyed. Then that seed never will turn into a plant. That seed never will germinate. That seed never will bring forth fruit. No, that seed, that is gone forever. Then the Lord Jesus explains what the meaning of this is. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Thus he speaks first of the wayside hearers. It says those who hear the word. Then it says, not, he is not speaking about the heathen. No. But he is speaking about people who hear the word. People who are within that church of God. And yet even outwardly, they have no ear to hear. What does the Lord Jesus say? And he understandeth it not. That means actually that it does not come together. It's not received. There is nothing that takes it up. As quickly as it has appeared on that hard ground, so quickly that seed that is snatched away again. And to whom does the Lord Jesus attribute this? We read he attributes it to the wicked one. Who is that? That is the devil. That means that the devil, he is in the place where that seed is sown. Whose house is this, boys and girls? Whose house is this? This is the house of God. And do you know who also is in this house of God? Then the devil is in the house of God. He is always there. He is always here. Wherever that word of God is preached. And he is working. He is working along with that wretched natural inclination of the heart of every one of us, trying to hold on to his subjects, trying to hold man in that grip of death wherein he has brought him in paradise. One, he has put to sleep. Or he has made him busy last evening until 11, 12 o'clock at night. So that he cannot stay awake in the house of God. And so that word cannot penetrate into his heart. Another one, he has brought trouble in their household, in their business. And in the house of God that is going over and over and over in their mind. And that seed of that word that does not hardly even enter within their ears. Third one is simply indifferent. It is a young person, maybe. Devil says, you are young. You have your whole life before you. Don't think about these things now. And every week again, that seed that is sown, and every week again, that seed that is falling upon that hard ground, that beaten path, and that word does not penetrate. Then we go from the house of God, and we hardly know what we have heard. We cannot even say it, boys and girls, when your father, he asks you what you have heard. You say, I don't know. Why not? Oh, the birds of the air, that wicked one, he has in some way, this time this way, next time another way, oh, he has in some way stolen it away. And then that seed, that word, that is destroyed forever. And it cannot bring forth fruit anymore. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. that is the stony ground hearer. What is that then that are stones? They are not stones that are laying on top of the ground, no. They are stones that are laying under just a very, very thin layer of soil, so that you cannot see these stones. You do not know that ground that is actually so hard underneath. Thus, it seems like good ground, but actually it is not good ground. It is very shallow ground. There is just a superficial layer of ground, of earth, that is actually insufficient for the proper growth of that seed. That does not mean that seed does not grow at all, no. Just the opposite, the Lord Jesus says, than that seed that is quickly germinating, because it has nowhere to fall. It has no depth of ground. It is very close to the surface. It remains at the surface. And so that it is very quickly shooting up. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, it is quickly up, but it does not last. It has no root. That root is too small. That root is not able to supply for the needs of that plant in order that it may flourish and in order that it may bring forth fruit. What is the application of the Lord Jesus in a spiritual way? But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That is, congregation, different from this former hearer. That is, the wayside here. This is a different hearer. He is not indifferent. He is not sleeping in the house of God. No, he is listening. And he is paying very close attention. We read that that word is actually received by him. So that is a very great difference between him and the stony ground hearer, where that word was not received at all. A very great difference, and yet he remains just as dead as that stony ground hearer. The only difference is in the outward appearance. It seems like it is very different. It seems like it is one of the true children of the Lord. And because man cannot look into the heart, then often that these are also accepted by that true church of God. And yet the Lord Jesus portrays a difference in the character of this work, that is, of this temporary faith. What does he say of that temporary faith? He says of that temporary faith that it is a faith that is lacking a good foundation. It is superficial. He says it is very shallow. Thus, it is possible to have all the marks. There is on the outside, and yet be missing a good, a proper foundation. But a foundation is not something that we can see, because where is the foundation that is underneath the ground? And so you and I, we cannot see that foundation, especially that foundation of our neighbor. Therefore, congregation, we have to be very careful also in the judgment of the spiritual state of our neighbor. But that does not mean that there is nothing that can be seen. That does not mean that there are no evidences that will show themselves forth also, and that will give an indication that that ground is not deep enough. What is that? The Lord Jesus lays that out here. He shows something that is a sign of a shallow foundation. What is the sign of that shallow foundation? Do you know that already, young people? It is that he says, it is quickly coming up. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Because there was no deepness of earth, therefore it came up quickly. So that that way of so-called faith that is growing very, very quickly, that is not, the Lord Jesus says, a good sign. That is a very natural thing when there is not so much earth, that it would come up actually much more quickly than that which is growing in a proper way. And thus the growth of the temporary faith that is very typically outpacing the growth of that true saving faith. It is often a people that are impatient to come to the highest steps of grace, that grow in their religion very, very rapidly, very soon being able from their own side to place themselves among the true people of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus warns here his church about this quickness of growth. Then the Lord Jesus says, as it were, then we must be careful. Then that is not a good sign. Isaac said to Jacob, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? What did Jacob say? He says, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, that was religious. What can we say about it? When we have such an answer, it's from the Bible. Very, very soon, then it became evident that it was not from the Lord at all, but it was the work of deceitfulness. That is why our fathers, they have said over and over, let it winter over once. Let us not lay our hands on so quickly. Let us not place them immediately upon the list for the consistory. Oh, King Saul. Oh, that started out so well. Soon, congregation, it became evident what lay within his heart. Another heart, yes, to rule, but not a new heart. Joash did everything that the prophet Jehoiada had instructed him to do as long as the prophet was still alive. And as soon as he was dead, then he went to serve the idols. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Thus, not all hypocritical work is going very, very quickly. Some of that hypocritical work that is able to withstand the storms and the trials and the tribulations. And yet the devil is working, the Lord Jesus says, in a very different way. That is, that he may choke that seed. Thus again, he speaks of a work that seems to be right, that seems to be true, but very slowly it is overtaken. And so in the very end, it proves itself to be false. Outwardly, it seems to be contrite. Outwardly, it seems to be a broken heart. Outwardly, it seems that there is a right and a genuine sense of the evil of sin. But it is not actually a true sorrow. It is not actually a true repentance, nor there is there a true inward fleeing from sin. Sin actually remains a delight. Is that not so in the heart of God's children? Oh, it is so. It is so. There is an old man in the heart of that people to whom sin is yet a delight. But there is also another man. There is another man. And to him, that delight of that old man is a burden. The delight of that old man is their sorrow, is their grief. Congregation, do you hear? It is a people that are fighting a warfare. But now that thorny ground here, how is it in their heart? That heart, congregation, is deceitful. The world and religion, they are dwelling at peace, actually, in the heart of the people. At first, it seemed like religion that was everything. At first, it seemed like they lived as a stranger, as a pilgrim in this world, more even than others. But there was never a true, there was never a serious nipping of sin in the bud. There was never a true sorrow for sin within their heart that they have allowed that sin to remain. Read it in the Holy War of John Bunyan. Then that true work that has a desire to overturn every stone. But it actually is not so in the work of hypocrisy. No, then for an outward show before men, oh, then we live in a holy and a pious way. But before the Lord, then we allow sin to remain in our heart. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, that is covetousness. That is to allow that covetousness to still take root within our heart. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The covetousness of Ananias and Sapphira, of Judas, that did show in the end what lay within their heart. We never read that the rich young ruler came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let us sing. Psalter 100, forever trusting in the Lord. Take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land. So shalt thou dwell within the land. And He thy need shall fill. Psalter number 101 through 4. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Good ground, what is that? Well, congregation, I think you can tell me that better than I can tell it to you. What good ground is? Good ground, that is ground that is prepared to receive the seed. That is ground that is fit to receive that seed. A place where that seed can germinate. A place where that seed can flourish. A place where that seed is able to grow to maturity and bring forth fruit. That is ground that has been prepared. That takes labor. You know that. That takes work. You cannot just throw the seed onto the ground that has not yet been prepared. Good ground, that is ground that seed can penetrate into, that hard clods, they have been broken up. All that is that there is preparation that is necessary before that a heart can receive that message of the gospel, before that a heart can receive that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that mediator, that Savior. That is not congregation preparation from our side. That is not preparation from the side of man, as if that we must make ourselves fit in order to receive the gospel. No. No, then a man, he may come just as he is. Then from the side of man, there is no preparation that is necessary. But it is a preparation of the Holy Spirit to make the heart of that people fit to receive that gospel. By nature, that good news of that heavenly physician, that good news of that mighty Savior, that good news of that merciful Redeemer that is falling on hard hearts, that is falling on ground wherein it brings forth no fruit. All that is the blessed seed of the gospel. In it lies a kernel. That is the essence of life. In itself, that message that is that seed able, that has life in itself to bring forth fruit unto God. But when it is falling on a hard and an unprepared ground, when it is falling on ground that is full of the deceitfulness of riches and of the cares of this world, then it is bringing forth nothing. Then it is being destroyed. And therefore the necessity of the Holy Spirit to make room, congregation, for that message, to prepare the ground of the hearts of us and our dear children to receive that blessed message of the gospel. How does the Lord do that? Well, that hard heart that can receive no impression. So what does the Lord do? He makes that heart soft. Did the Lord ever make your heart soft? the Lord pours in love into that heart. The Lord, as He did even to Samuel, calls him Samuel, Samuel. The Lord comes to a Timothy. The Lord comes to a Lydia. He gives them ears to hear, to hearken unto His word. Or the Lord takes one that is hardened in sin, as a Manasseh, and He brings him into prison, or as a Saul of Tarsus, and persecuting the true church of God. And the Lord speaks. The Lord says, thus far and no further. And the Lord makes him willing in the day of His own power. How does the Lord soften that hard heart? The Lord draws, congregation. He draws. Did the Lord ever draw you? The Lord draws as He has drawn that prodigal son. And He shows a person the vanity, the emptiness, the carnality of this world. It gives him to look back upon whom he has left. And he draws him. He gives him a holy unrest that he may return again into the blessed favor of His Father, of His Maker, of His Creator. Congregation, do you know of such a softening of your hard heart? Has the Lord ever melted your heart before Him, shown you against whom you have sinned, that it is against such a good doing God as He is? Oh, the Lord makes that heart fit to receive that message of the gospel. How does He do that? Well, the Lord, He brings His law. The Lord opens the knowledge of Himself. The Lord shows to him something of the justice of God. That unchangeable justice. That he cannot stand before his Maker. The Lord teaches him to acknowledge against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. The Lord brings him into guilt. The Lord prepares the heart to receive the blessed message of the gospel. How does he do that? He shows the weakness. The Lord shows the spirituality of his law. The Lord shows how corrupt that fountain of sin that lies within, and the inability to ever come over it, so that a man has to cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Do you feel it, congregation? Do you see it? Do you hear it? Or the necessity coming, the opening coming for salvation in another, the opening coming for a mediator, for a savior, for a redeemer for our soul. Blessed plowing. No, not so nice for our flesh. Not so nice also for your minister. No, that is not so nice. When we have to open up the depth of sin, transgression, iniquity. But do you know what is pleasant? It is so pleasant when we may see that open ground. That is pleasant. You know why that is pleasant? Because there we may see that there is a place for the seed of the gospel. And that, farmers, that it is not that pleasant thing when you may say the ground is now prepared. Now it is a time, pleasant time, when you may sow that seed. Or when that ground is opened up, you know, then there is a drawing, congregation. There is a drawing. And the heart of God's servants, that we may cast in that blessed seed, that blessed message of free and sovereign grace. Oh, what a hopeful labor then that sowing of that seed may be. Thus, there is a time to plow, and there is a time to sow. You know that. And you do not sow until that time of plowing that is finished, until that ground is ready. Then you, as the farmers, then you know that time, you feel that time. Then you begin with pleasure to sow. Oh, how is that with us? Well, we do not know your heart. We cannot enter into your heart. We do not know exactly when there may be some open ground. Thus, for God's servants, actually, then there is always a plowing. And there must be always a sowing. But congregation, there is also a freedom. There is a freedom that the Lord gives. It is a freedom that the Lord gives His servants to feel. In the sowing of that gospel. And how does He give His servants to feel that freedom? Well, then He gives them to feel something of the openness of the ground, of the preparedness of the heart. And when that may be felt by God's servants, oh, then there is a special freedom in the sowing of that gospel. How is that now in our midst? What do you think? You know one another. Probably better than we know you yet. What are your thoughts? Do you think we must yet plow? Or do you think that it is time to sow? Congregation, we don't know so many of you yet, but when we are honest, you know what we feel? We feel yet that we need to plow. We do not feel yet so much that there is an open ground. Or are we wrong? Oh, hopefully, that we are so wrong. And may that we find out when we may come from place to place. And when we may try to learn a little bit our flock. Oh, when. When may there come a freedom, a special freedom, with the opening of the ground, and we may feel that there are those whose cry is come up unto God by reason of the bondage, and that the Lord sends to deliver from that bondage. Those congregation will bring forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Will not always be all be the same, but it will be to the honor of God, and it will be the honor to the honor of His only begotten Son. Will be for the salvation of the most wretched, of the most guilty, of the most polluted one. There will be fruit. What will that fruit be? It will be the fruit of a self-loathing and a self-condemnation because of sin. And glorify of the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, it will be to the honor and to the glory of God by beginning here and to a never-ending eternity. Congregation, by nature we don't want to be plowed up. That is a painful thing. But there is no other way. There is no other way to experience the salvation of the Lord. Is that not a difficult thing? Even when we must confess our faults to one another. When we must say to one another, I am wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? Difficult. Why? Well, from up here we have to come down there. And we don't want to. But it is necessary for reconciliation between one another. And this congregation is also necessary. The Lord has to say to David, Thou art the man. And when the Lord says to David, Thou art the man, then he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And as long as David says, I kept silence, then he says, my bones, they waxed old through my roaring all the day. But as soon as he may make confession, and as soon as he may come into guilt, all then he may say, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Is it not then a blessed plowing? All do not resist it then. No, but ask the Lord against yourself. Say, Lord, show me myself. Show me. Give me to know what I am and how that I have sinned against thee, and make room
in my heart for thyself, to thy honor and to the salvation of my soul. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O in a simple way, that seed is gone forth. Lord, it depends not on us. Oh, it depends on Thee, Thy Holy Spirit. Make room, Lord. Oh, plow up the fallow ground of our hearts. Give us understanding hearts. Oh, make Thy dear Son and His precious blood shed upon a cursed tree to become so suitable to us in a personal way. Forgive all that was sinful this morning. Bring us safely home. Remember us further this day in the sister congregation, also him who must lead in this congregation in this afternoon. And wilt thou strengthen him and give thy blessing also in the midst of this people. Remember us when we must meet as a consistory in the week to come also. And keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 115. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee. For Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 115.
troubled and oppressed with grief. Hope thou in God, the God of thy salvation. God will surely send relief. Praise God from home, all blessed.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.